Looking for a new 1500 Silverado? Shop Beatty Chevrolet and get 2.9% APR for 72 months on a new 1500 Silverado. Or if you want a new vehicle and a Chevy Equinox LT fits your lifestyle, check out Beatty Chevrolet's lease option on a 24 Equinox for only $325 a month. And as always, buy with confidence with the Beatty Warranty for Life. Beatty Chevrolet on Parkside Drive. Online at BeattyChevrolet.com. Beatty Chevrolet, locally owned and operated for over 90 years.
We begin hour number two of Sports 180. Thank you for being with us. With Heather Harrington, I'm Josh Ward. Joel Silverberg is producing for us. Matthew Baker right here engineering as we continue on this Football Friday, the final Football Friday of the season in terms of the regular season. It wraps up tomorrow for Tennessee at home against Vanderbilt. We'll find out in a little more than a week where Tennessee will go bowling, with next week being championship week. Heather, we're having the conversation on this Football Friday and Black Friday here at Harper Jeep Ram.
Yes, right here on the Airport Motor Mile, you can find an incredible selection of new and pre-owned vehicles this holiday season at Harper Jeep Ram, and take advantage of some incredible deals that they have going on right now, like 0% financing for up to 84 months on select Jeeps, Rams, Chryslers, and Dodges. There's also a no payments for 90 days option with approved credit. Most vehicles come with the Harper Care, which is their lifetime powertrain warranty. And if you maybe are just wanting to browse at this point in time, you can either look on the lot or visit them at harperjeepram.com and schedule your test drive right there. But tons of awesome selection. They got some four-door Jeeps on the lot, which are always a crowd pleaser. They've got the Wagoneers that are absolutely brand new and just state-of-the-art, top of the line when it comes to luxury. So many different vehicles for you right here at Harper Jeep Ram.
Yep, harperjeepram.com. With so much going on this weekend, that will include Tennessee and Vanderbilt tomorrow, 3:45 kickoff at Neyland Stadium. I think you and many Tennessee fans just want to see Tennessee roll up more points against the Commodores.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. I keep referring to it as ending the season with like an exclamation point. You know, there has been a lot of high moments this season. There's also been a couple of low moments. And I think you just want to go out with a bang, not only for the seniors that are going to go through senior day tomorrow, but I think just to set the tone for what the expectation is going to be like moving forward. And that's one of those moving goalpost conversations that we have had and we've already started to have, especially when you start projecting and looking towards next season. And I would say that until I know for sure what Hendon Hooker is going to do, like, don't write anything in stone yet, but just realize how many winnable games are on next season's schedule. But I'm anxious to see, you know, what the rest of the year, what the last 5 weeks of 2021 look like for Tennessee from this last game, when is your bowl game, and also the early signing period for the class.
Yeah, what is your nine-month-out prediction for a 2022 record for Tennessee football?
At least 8-4. Yeah. I want to say 9-3. I would feel pretty good about it. I go back to the caller. He's scared. I'm scared, too. If you're scared, okay. Say you're scared. I'm scared. I can admit it. Okay. I get nervous.
Yeah.
Especially without knowing what the future is for Hendon Hooker. I mean, we made a comment. I think you made it the other day, and I was just cracking up. It was off the air, but you're like, Hendon Hooker does have to be looking at Joe Flacco starting in the NFL and be like, dude, if that guy can start.
Yeah.
Hey, these are young guys. They're very confident in their abilities, and rightfully so. He's had an incredible year, and we'll see where that takes him. But I also have, I think, one of the biggest things with Hendon Hooker having so much success with Josh Heupel in year one, it gives me hope for the future. Like, this was a guy that really just didn't have a spot, you know, left Virginia Tech after some solid playing time, nothing spectacular, came here, was not number one on the depth chart coming into the season, and then you have seen him grow and evolve, get thrust into the spotlight and handle it very well. So that, maybe I'm projecting too much, but that does make me very optimistic for what future quarterback play under Josh Heupel could be.
Yeah, I mean, Hooker coming back very well could be a preseason All-SEC quarterback next year. I'm guessing first team will be Bryce Young, mm-hmm. and then everything's up for grabs after that. And with what Hendon's done this year, if he's coming back next year, there'll be a lot of projection about year two for Josh Heupel and that offense, and the main reason for that will probably be what Hooker can do at quarterback for Tennessee.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, you know, what the other pieces look like, but I just think those two keys. We heard so much about the offense. That's why they were hiring Josh Heupel when Danny White made that decision and he agreed to come up here. Oh, it's offense, it's offense, it's offense. Dude, they have delivered on that this season. Still got to get better against the top competition, of course. Find more ways to score points, and that'll come with recruiting more talent. But I very firmly believe that Hendon Hooker would be in some sort of mix, especially on some of the publications that go 3 and 4 teams deep. His name would very much be in the competition or in the conversation headed into next season.
Yeah, I wonder what Georgia does at quarterback next year. Does JT Daniels come back? Could Vandegrift get an opportunity, young, talented quarterback there? So that's something to pay attention to. We know Bryce Young will get all the accolades heading into next year. Deservedly so. Look what he's done. I mean, he might win the Heisman.
He might, yeah.
At Alabama this year. But, you know, what happens next at Ole Miss? Haynes King coming back next year at Texas A&M. We didn't really get a chance to see him this year. So, but Texas A&M is going to be a team that gets a lot of attention. New coach at LSU, new coach at Florida. Is Anthony Richardson still at Florida? You know, there's a big question for next year, especially since Tennessee will play Florida.
Yeah, and what was it after the Missouri game? One of the nuggets that came out after that, besides Eli Drinkwitz just trolling the heck out of Dan Mullen, but it was also, hey, Anthony Richardson just scrubbed all of his social media of any reference to the Gators. He basically
He tweeted out a Bible verse.
It did the whole wipe down. So that's got to mean something. I would imagine, though, whoever gets that job, if it is Billy Napier, his first call is going to be to Anthony Richardson. Like, why don't you come to my office? Let's talk about this. We see a lot for you here and see if that relationship can be salvaged. But, you know, it's just it's weird times. It's also hard to project what's going to happen in the transfer portal. You know, who all is going to go in, who is going to come out, you know, how different holes could be filled. And this is all around the country, how different holes could be filled with the transfer portal. So trying to also think of the possibilities that are out there is something to pay attention to as well.
Yeah, it's a lot to manage for coaches. That's why this is a very good time to have some stability in your program, which Tennessee has been able to establish over the last several months compared to other programs that are going through changes. Now, a program like LSU going through change, that's one that can bounce back quickly. Florida can bounce back fairly quickly. Now, that's a solid spot to be taking over. Now, expectations are crazy. I recognize that, and the talent is not at Florida where it needs to be compared to, like, Georgia, but where is it, I would say. But you can win pretty quickly, I think, at LSU and at Florida. Let's see, but I would still say Tennessee, you're in a good spot right now with a chance to get better.
I do want to see how many guys leave LSU for the NFL. You've had several high-profile guys that went ahead and packed it in, you know, a couple of weeks ago and just called it a season. And does that, you know, LSU's starting 22, their first probably 30 guys are always going to be just incredible, incredible talents. What does depth ever become a question for them? You know, if you do have to go to your second or third string corner, how good are they? You know, I do wonder if that will ever catch up with LSU, but I tend to agree. Like, it's just a plug and play. They're going to be able to recruit. There's still nice talent that is there. It's not like Ed Orgeron wasn't recruiting at a high level. He's probably recruiting so well and then not following it up with wins this season. I wonder whoever takes the Florida job with what we know about Dan Mullen's recruiting, which has been right around the top 10 for most of the time he has been there. This year's class is not. So you wonder if they can make a move fast. What can they do to maybe flip some guys?
Yeah, signing day is 12 days away.
Yeah, but for...
19 days away.
19, okay. I mean, would whoever comes in, would you think they could go 10-3 like he did, like Dan Mullen did in their first year? That might be pretty difficult.
Very difficult.
Yeah, especially with, like, if they even lose more guys to the transfer portal. So, yeah, it's weird times right now. Hate it for Florida.
Yeah, I'm sure you do. One thing I would caution... We're going to talk a lot about the transfer portal. You'll see a lot of names that hop in over the next few days. That's going to happen. We need to be careful to not overreact to what the impact can be from the transfer portal, one way or the other. You're not changing the direction of your program based on the transfer portal. You can supplement.
Yeah.
You can find depth. You can find a couple of guys that can come in and play a really nice role. You're not changing the direction of your program through the transfer portal. I don't believe that. Now, if you get a quarterback that comes in, that can be a big-time difference maker. But a lot of the best players are realistically going to look at Alabama, Georgia first. a player that
Ohio State third.
Yeah. You know, like Jameson Williams goes to Alabama. He goes from Ohio State, where he can't get on the field, to Alabama to be a Biletnikoff finalist. I'm not saying you can't get good players. Of course you can. Hendon Hooker is Tennessee starter. I'm saying the direction of your program is still going to be built through recruiting, not through the transfer portal.
So with that being said, how should Tennessee fans feel right now? Concerned?
In terms of?
The direction that they're headed with where we know Tennessee is right now in the recruiting mix.
It needs to be a lot better next year. I mean, I don't think this one's overly complicated. If you don't recruit at a certain level, you're not going to win championships, most likely. Could there be some weird year where you're able to break through having obviously less talent? I suppose.
But not many people do it, yeah.
It's not happened yet.
I guess, Ole Miss, first 10-win season in program history, that's not great talent there. Matt Corral's a great talent, but...
Did they secure a spot in the SEC title game?
They did not.
That's what I'm talking about. So could that happen? Yeah. But we saw Ole Miss play Alabama. How'd it go? You know, so there's a different...
I had my popcorn ready, and it never, got there.
So it doesn't mean you have to freak out. It's not an opinion. We have data here. Look at all the results, 100% of them. If you don't have a ton of talent, you don't win SEC championships. So I'm not coming up with some new thought here. You have to get really good players to win. It's the only tale that's ever been shown in sports.
It really is. It's not up for debate anymore.
We spend too much time talking about coaching. I say we because I do it too. You have to have the players. You know who knows that? The coaches.
Yeah, that is so true.
Yeah, Rodney Garner's not sitting there telling you, the only reason all these guys have gone to the NFL is because I'm a good coach. It's because they had really good talent, and then I coached them to help them get better.
Yeah, I told them what they needed to do to get better, and they did the work, and there you go.
Yeah. We'll continue here on Sports 180. Tennessee gets ready for a game tomorrow against a team that realistically has a lot less talent. That's Vanderbilt. We'll talk about the game tomorrow, Tennessee basketball this afternoon. Sports going on all day long. We'll get you ready right here at Harper Jeep Ram in Alcoa. We'll be here until 2:30 when Tennessee basketball coverage takes over the Sports Animal. With Heather Harrington, Joel Silverberg, I'm Josh Ward on 99.1, the Sports Animal. This is Sports 180. Thank you for being with us today. Hope you're having a great Friday. We'll talk to Will Shelton of Game Day on RockyTop.com coming up at 1:30. We're sitting next to Carl here, Heather.
Yeah, we did not know that the vintage Grand Wagoneer, the V8 Grand Wagoneer that's here in the showroom, his official name, Carl, says it on his plates on the front.
That's right.
Absolutely love it. We're having so much fun here at Harper Jeep Ram on the world-famous Airport Motor Mile. If you are looking for a new vehicle or even just new to you, they've got an incredible selection of new and pre-owned vehicles this holiday season here at Harper Jeep Ram, and you can take advantage of some incredible pricing, 0% financing for up to 84 months on select Jeep, Dodge, Chrysler, and Ram vehicles, and maybe take advantage of no payments for 90 days with approved credit. And just like you know from the Harper name, they're going to take care of this vehicle because most of them come with the Harper Care, their lifetime powertrain warranty. So a lot of great deals going on here on the Motor Mile at Harper Jeep Ram.
We'll talk Tennessee Vanderbilt with Will Shelton when he joins the show coming up at 1:30. And, you know, last segment we were talking about just what programs are taking on, trying to build. I still believe Tennessee's in a good position. The recruiting has to improve. Everybody knows that. But I think Tennessee's in a good position considering some questions about what's going on at Florida, the stability, the stuff you hear about Josh Heupel and being more likable than Tennessee's previous coach and the relationships and the buy and all that stuff. I think that's real. You need to build on it, and that's what they're going to try to do this upcoming offseason, where I'm also sure they're hoping that it's a more normal offseason in terms of you don't have as much NCAA conversation around the program. You now have some good results on the field to go sell as opposed to, well, here's what we did previously at a different school. Now you can show them something at Tennessee. So I think overall Tennessee is in a good position to try to improve moving into 2022 and beyond.
I think they're in a really good position to improve into 2022. I still want to see more. I still also, and this is not, this isn't even in Josh Heupel's control, I still want to see what the landscape of the league is going to look like over the next couple of years. You know, when do Texas and Oklahoma actually come to the SEC? Are you going to this pod system and you're playing different pods? Like, there's just, to project too far into the future, I just don't think that is even possible because of so many unknowns right now. And then, I will say, Josh Heupel has built up a lot of good feelings, at least right now. Like, you should be optimistic. You should be very excited for what he is going to be able to do over the next couple of seasons. And then we'll have to see, based on recruiting, where you think they can go. Because do you taper off? Do you, I mean, we've talked about it in circles where a couple of years ago, you would have never, even at the beginning of this season, you would have never thought Dan Mullen was going to lose his job. And bam, you fast forward 4 months, or actually it was just 3 months, because the first month of the season they were rocking, and they weren't feeling any sort of angst towards Dan Mullen.
Yeah, I mean, now, it took like 6 or 7 weeks to just fall apart.
Yeah, and now they're looking for a new coach. So who knows what's going to happen in, say, year four with Josh Heupel. But, man, if you're able to get a highly touted prospect at quarterback, I would definitely want to ride with Josh Heupel. I wouldn't be betting against that guy if he's able to go out and get a really good quarterback prospect over the next couple of seasons.
Yeah, the last 5 weeks for Florida, here's what they were on the field. At LSU, lost 49-42. That was a bad Saturday for Florida. The next game got destroyed by Georgia, then lost to South Carolina, where it's like, what's happening here?
Yep.
Beat Samford, where the defense really stepped up in the second half, limiting them to 52 points for the game, and then they lost to Mizzou, and he's out. Is that quick?
Yeah.
Five games, 6 weeks.
44 points for that first half, right? It's
42,
Samford,
I think.
42.
Yeah.
It was just unreal what had happened. He had already,
only 10 in the second half, though.
Yeah, he had fired the the Todd Grantham, the defensive coordinator, before the game. The defense was like, oh, we'll show you. But, yeah, it happens. Things happen really quickly. And when stuff starts rolling downhill, you got to build one heck of a dam to get it to stop, and not many coaches are able to do that.
Tennessee trying to get things started up. It's been a nice year one for Josh Heupel. We'll talk about that. Also, basketball takeaways with Will Shelton of Game Day on Rocky Top when we come back. We have another hour here until Tennessee basketball coverage takes over on the Sports Animal. We continue at Harper Jeep Ram on the Airport Motor Mile on 99.1, the Sports Animal. Sports 180 continues. Thank you for being with us. With Heather Harrington, I'm Josh Ward. An hour to go, and then Vol Network coverage will take over for Tennessee versus Tennessee Tech in basketball. Today's show continues at Harper Jeep Ram. You can test drive right here on the Motor Mile where we are. Find them online, harperjeepram.com. And as we get ready for this upcoming busy Tennessee sports weekend, we welcome to the show Will Shelton of Game Day on RockyTop.com. Will, thank you for the time, as always. What kind of anticipation for tomorrow's game do you sense? Is it, hey, let's just see how many points we can score, how badly can we beat Vanderbilt, something else that you would add? What do you see?
Well, it's nice, first of all, to just be back in a place where Tennessee's, 30-plus point favorite in this game. Some of that, obviously, is Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt's got a lot of work ahead of them as a program, to be sure. But, you know, this is a game that Tennessee got hammered in not too terribly long ago at the end of Butch Jones' time. And in Jeremy Pruitt's first year. So just the nice kind of, I'm sure for a lot of folks, the idea of let's go out to Neyland Stadium on Saturday afternoon and watch Tennessee just absolutely handle their business, hopefully. That's really nice to see. I think this team has become just particularly endearing, in part because they've just surpassed expectations and played so well relative to expectation every week. And because, you know, if you took your family out to see the game last week, you got exactly what you wanted, that they really, really put the clamps down against the South Alabamas and the Bowling Greens and hopefully the Vanderbilts of the world. So I'm really hopeful that they're on the other side of this thing tomorrow, that there is a bowl opportunity that fans really want to travel to, because, again, I just think this team, there's a lot of work left to do with this program, too, but if Josh Heupel ends up getting the kind of success at Tennessee that fans have been waiting for a long time, year over year, this is a good group to really kickstart it with. And just the idea that you can turn on Tennessee or go to the game, and chances are you're going to enjoy what you see. You're going to appreciate the way they play in every single game. This has just been a really pleasant football season from that regard, and it's not over yet.
What's your optimism level at this point in time, Will, for Hendon Hooker to return and probably be in the mix as an all-SEC quarterback next season?
Yeah, the Georgia game obviously didn't go the way Tennessee wanted it to go, but I think that also was one where you watched that game and you thought, yeah, okay, one more year for this guy. One year where he can come in with, you're right, Heather, which would be a lot of off-season hype. He can look at some of these other guys, whether it's Kenny Pickett or Matt Corral, guys that Tennessee's played against, and see kind of how they've been able to help themselves with a year of build-up and then a year of getting it done on the field. certainly, I would think, has built the trust with his coaching staff to feel like that can take place. So, I would think that it's an above 50% chance that he's back at Tennessee next year, just because you're going to feel like that they can put these numbers up again. They've got enough of the offensive line coming back. I know Cade Mays is a big piece there that they're probably not going to have, but they got enough of those guys coming back. You've got Jabari Small coming back. You've got, if Cedric Tillman comes back to school, you've still got Jalen Hyatt. You've got pieces around you where you feel like he could have a year that is much more appreciated on the national level. It's been strange to me that Tennessee, it took a long time, but Tennessee nationally, this is the first year where I felt like that Tennessee, people just weren't paying attention to Tennessee. Even in some bad Jeremy Pruitt years and some bad Derek Dooley years, Tennessee played multiple games in the 330 CBS and all that stuff because Tennessee was Tennessee. And it may have taken 13 or 14 years or however long, but Tennessee just really hasn't gotten a lot of national kind of attention this year. So I think Hooker coming back, Tennessee could have a chance to have a year more like that next season where you get, you know, more eyeballs on you, get a chance to be in some bigger kinds of games. So some of that, I'm sure, is still going to come down to what the quarterback draft board looks like, what he hears from scouts and that sort of thing. But I feel like that's an above 50% chance that he is Tennessee's quarterback again next year. That just seems to make too much sense for all of the parties involved.
We're talking to Will Shelton of Game Day on RockyTop.com. Will, a few minutes ago, I said that I think that we should be careful about overemphasizing what kind of impact can come from the transfer portal. Obviously, Hendon Hooker would be an exception there, so quarterback can certainly change the conversation. But in general, I think it's going to be more about recruiting and traditional roster building. Am I wrong there? Should we pay more attention? Can that be a quicker route to elevate a program, the transfer portal?
I think you're right. If you're going to use the word elevate, no, I don't think the transfer portal can be used to elevate your program. Maybe in basketball, because, you know, it's five guys on the floor instead of 11.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can get one guy is going to give you more, right? But I don't think you can elevate unless it's a quarterback. I think that's right. I just do think, too, that, look, Josh Heupel's given a terrible hand in recruiting. Tennessee's had all this cloud hanging over him and all that stuff. But if Heupel was recruiting right now the way that Butch Jones recruited when he was in his first year, or even the way that Jeremy Pruitt was recruiting early on when they didn't have to deal with NCAA sanctions and Tennessee hadn't been as bad for as long. I think if Tennessee was recruiting even at that level right now, we probably wouldn't be talking about the transfer portal very much, even with having had the success of Hendon Hooker and Javonta Payton for Tennessee this year. So I think a lot of that conversation is just forced upon us because of what Tennessee has had to deal with uncertainty in recruiting. So can you elevate your program? I don't think so. Can you plug and play? Can you find a little piece here and a little piece there? Certainly, can you find depth? I think we've already seen that in kind of an understated sort of way, whether it's you know, Caleb Tremblay or other guys like that. So I think Tennessee can improve themselves in the transfer portal. And overall, considering what they lost in the portal, you know, they're a good story for just because you lose guys doesn't mean you automatically have to be worse. But in terms of getting Tennessee to the next level in talent, where when we turn on Tennessee and Georgia, we're not just feeling like this is a complete talent mismatch, that's going to have to be recruiting. I think, and these guys understand that, the staff understands that you want to get what you can out of the portal. There may be some skill players that look at what Heupel has done, maybe look at a quarterback that's returning in Hendon Hooker and say, yeah, I want a piece of that. Or maybe you've got just an opening, whether it's at corner or at linebacker or whatever, where one guy can plug and play. But overall, Tennessee just still needs to recruit at a high enough level where they can give themselves a chance in the SEC East or whatever the SEC is going to look like 3-4 years from now. That still, to me, is just always going to have to come back to recruiting.
What do you think it is, what it's going to take to get over the hump in recruiting for Josh Heupel and this staff? Is it adding different pieces? You kind of have sort of the NCAA situation at least wrapping up. You were able to put a lot of points on the board this year, so you do have a flashy offense to sell people. Just what do you think it's going to take for them to get over the hump and be able to put top 15 or top 10 classes together?
See, and this, too, is where I wonder about the exposure piece. Like, again, Tennessee's scoring what feels like millions of points compared to what they have been scoring against Missouri and South Carolina and, you know, the South Alabamas and all that stuff. But on the national level, how much exposure do they get by putting 62 on Missouri or 45 or whatever it was on South Carolina? You know, even the Kentucky game, just I don't know how much national buzz or even regional buzz that stuff made. I think that's still going to have to go back to pre-existing relationships. But if Hooker comes back and Tennessee's offense does this again next year where they get a shot to do it against Pittsburgh or LSU or Florida or whatever the case may be, then I think if you get 2 years in a row with this kind of offense and you get it in some higher profile games next year, which, look, Tennessee was very close to winning a very high profile game against Ole Miss. And so there's not a lot of separation there, I think, in terms of what Tennessee needs to do to create that kind of buzz. But I think that's just going to be kind of the biggest thing, is create more national exposure for yourself and for your brand to be able to get in there with high school players that have relationships with each other. Whereas just the same as it's been a negative that those guys can talk to each other and talk about, you know, other schools are telling us Tennessee's going to have this many years of a bowl ban or whatever. Can you flip that around to the positive and have multiple different guys who have relationships with each other talking about what a great opportunity it is to come and score a bunch of points at Tennessee? So some of it, I just feel like the whole piece of this puzzle is just going to take another year, a little more time. Let's see where is Tennessee. The 2023 class has, I think, one commitment in it, right? Like, so a year from now, a year and a half from now, where is Tennessee in 23 and 24? Can we see it come back up to the levels that we saw under not even the best Butch Jones classes, but like a top 15 national class? Can Tennessee get back in that territory? How long is that going to take? Because I think you got to get there. Again, if the goal is to entertain beating Georgia, beating Alabama at some points, you're going to have to get there ultimately to get that done.
Hey, Will, last thing, we'll get you out of here. Will Shelton, game day on RockyTop.com. What was your big basketball takeaway from this past weekend for Rick Barnes' team?
Well, I think it's easy early season to say I want to see lineups, right, because we just haven't seen a lot of these guys together and you want to see what they'll go to. I don't know if anybody had that three-point guard lineup kind of in their brain before Josiah was hurt and now, you know, may get another chance to see it. And the way that they played three-point guards, oftentimes with, you know, two bigs. And Kumwa is such an interesting piece of this puzzle if he continues to shoot it well, because that really kind of changes the classification. But that, to me, it was great to see him fight and respond against North Carolina. At this point, you kind of expect that with Barnes' teams. You expect them to play good defense. And they played pretty good defense against Villanova. They just didn't play much offense at all. But so now, like even today, I'm super intrigued to see what combinations of guys are getting put on the floor. You know, how many different ways is Tennessee going to go at it? And this is a group where, you know, a guy like Victor Bailey, who I don't think played at all in the second half against North Carolina, there are good players who have done meaningful things for Tennessee in the past, or guys that you hoped would do meaningful things, that this thing might get a little tight for. So, you know, some of that will just be lineup stuff that we can watch in this game and the game against Presbyterian. But I want to see whatever it is a week and a half from now. When they get Texas Tech, when they get a game against another really good defense, they're not going to do what they did to North Carolina against Texas Tech or Memphis or teams in the SEC that have a good defense. But I'm intrigued by what they might do, like what some other options might be out there. So, you know, how much Zakai Ziegler, is that going to be, hey, remember his one game against North Carolina? Or is he going to get 25 minutes, you know, in some of these other big games? So I think you'll get, again, even today, some little piece of that lineup equation. But Tennessee is very intriguing in a good way for all the different kinds of possibilities that they can put out there on the floor right now.
More Tennessee basketball this afternoon against Tennessee Tech. What is going on right now at game day on RockyTop.com?
Bowl projection stuff. Tennessee got the first piece of the puzzle that really they needed last night. Ole Miss is going to go to the New Year's Six, I think, no matter what happens now. So if you're trying to find a way, like what is the best thing that can happen to Tennessee? We wrote about this on our site this week. Missouri over Arkansas would help today. If Arkansas is 8-4, like they should go over Tennessee in whatever their preference is or whatever. And if Kentucky were to lose tomorrow, I just find myself saying, you know, look, somebody's got to go to the Outback Bowl. Somebody's got to go to the Gator Bowl. And if you get losses for Kentucky and Arkansas, Tennessee's at least going to kind of sidestep their way into a conversation. And again, when you talk about exposure and that sort of stuff, that's what you want. That, there can still be a national exposure kind of game. If it's Penn State in the Music City Bowl, that would be a lot of fun. That's something that's still out there on the table. But I think there's even higher exposure that can still be out there if Tennessee takes care of its business on Saturday, and you get, if Missouri can help them today, or if Louisville can help them tomorrow, that could be really interesting. So we just kind of looked at all those possibilities on our site this week, and then whatever happens this weekend, we'll take a look at that again starting on Monday.
GameDayOnRockyTop.com is the website. Hey, Will, thank you for the time as always. Hope you have a great weekend. We'll check in with you again next week.
All right. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Will. Will Shelton, GameDayOnRockyTop.com, joining us here on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline. We'll come back with a pop-up fact. Alabama, you let the streak be broken against Rick Pitino's team. We'll explain when we come back. We'll have some football updates for you. We'll have some help with football picks when Fat Jack joins us at 2 o'clock. That's all right here where we are at Harper Jeep Ram, where Sports 180 is this afternoon, with another 45 minutes to go until Vol Network coverage takes over for Tennessee basketball this afternoon on 99.1, the Sports Animal. This is Sports 180. Thanks for being with us. Hope you're having a fun Black Friday. We are right here at Harper Jeep Ram, where you can test drive on the Motor Mile. Heather, we mentioned earlier, we're sitting next to Carl right here, the Grand Wagoneer. It is a beaut inside the showroom in Harper Jeep Ram where we are. If you're looking for the Wagoneer, right here.
Carl's a classic, and he is beautiful. But, man, I'm looking at a black Wagoneer right out there on the lot. It is shining. It is the lap of luxury that has just been added back to this lineup. Just absolutely incredible. And you need to know, they have Wagoneers, plural, here at Harper Jeep Ram on the Airport Motor Mile. They're not marking them up either. What you see on the sticker is what you're going to pay. And you can take advantage right now on their new or pre-owned inventory that they have on the lot today, whether it is the Wagoneers that you want to check out, which everybody is just rightfully geeking over them because they are absolutely beautiful when you want to supersize your ride. But also, check out all the other inventory they have. They've got Jeep, Ram, Chrysler, Dodge vehicles. You could take advantage of 0% financing for up to 84 months on those select vehicles. And they've got new, they've got pre-owned for you here at Harper Jeep Ram. And you can even take advantage of no payments for up to 90 days with approved credit. So, a lot going on here on this awesome Black Friday. They've got the specials for you and your new vehicle here at Harper Jeep Ram.
You can visit Harper Jeep Ram on the Motor Mile right here. Also online, harperjeepram.com. A lot of things going on. Football quick score update for you at the half. Boise State leads San Diego State 16-13. San Diego State is 10-1, looking to finish 11-1. Brady Hoke coaching San Diego State. They're a top 25 team. Kansas State leads Texas 17-16 at the end of the third quarter. Texas not going to finish 4-8, are they? Maybe.
I told you I wanted to take K-State plus three.
Yeah, we'll see. Nebraska up 7-0 early on Iowa. Iowa with the ball, third and goal against Nebraska. Basketball going on today as well. Fun basketball weekend. Tennessee playing at 3 o'clock this afternoon against Tennessee Tech. And that leads us into today's pop-up fact. Heather, how about the Iona Gaels? It was a long streak that finally came to an end as the Metro Atlantic had lost all 119 competitions in basketball against Associated Press top 10 teams. Until yesterday, Rick Pitino and Iona beat Alabama, improving the Metro Atlantic's record to 1-119 all time against AP top 10 teams. Leave it to Rick Pitino to be able to get it done.
The Hall of Famer.
All it took was one of the greatest college basketball coaches of all time.
And don't forget, he also got them to the first round of the NCAA tournament last year, where, I mean, you know, getting Iona to the tournament, that is awesome. But Rick Pitino, he's a Hall of Famer, may make some interesting decisions, questionable. I think questionable moral compass would properly label him, but man, that dude can coach some basketball.
Yep, and did yesterday. So Iona with the win against Alabama, which is a good team, but lost I'm sure they weren't expecting to begin the season.
That was good foreshadowing for my power poll last week where I did not, or earlier this week where I did not have Alabama number one power rated in the SEC. Had the Florida Gators. There you go.
There you go. Absolutely.
I was right about something.
Yeah.
Tear.
Well.
A blind squirrel.
We were waiting on it. That is the pop-up fact. It is presented by Burton McKinnish Law.
Oh, good things come to those who wait. Don't wait around, though, if you have legal troubles. Burton McKinnish Law is there to help. Offices in Maryville, Sevierville, Western North Carolina, and Southeastern Kentucky. So if you have family law, divorce, criminal defense, DUI, Social Security, or personal injury, if you've got a case, trust Burton McKinnish Law. Visit burtonmckinnish.com. Rick Pitino has the Gales 6-0 to start the season. Yeah, 6-0.
He can coach. I think people know it. Let's work in a quick call from Randy. Randy, we have about a minute before we have to get out this hour, but wanted to work you in. Thanks for calling in. What's on your mind today?
Hey, guys. Just two quick questions. Did the Tyon Evans thing have to do with NIL money? And does Tennessee have a competent NIL program? Because I'm hearing that they don't.
Okay, Randy, thanks. That might have been some kind of factor. My guess is there are multiple reasons why Tyon Evans is looking to move on. If he's making a decision strictly on NIL, I think some things can be done to help there. So you're seeing players get some deals. I think the leaders in the clubhouse probably and getting stuff like that done, the same that have been leading the way in recruiting already. I think Alabama, Georgia probably has a pretty good plan. Tennessee has been working on it. I'm sure we'll do more in the future, but I'm sure it's a little deeper than that with Tyon Evans. I don't think this is a surprise to Tennessee's coaching staff at all that he announced he's going to the transfer portal.
Yeah. I don't think it was a surprise either. Might have caught the fans for a little bit of a loop,
sure.
Especially because it's news coming out like right before the Vanderbilt game. You're like, you couldn't have held that for like two more days, but obviously if he's mentally checked out, what does he care? So I do wonder, you know, you're going to have more opportunities the healthier you are and the more you're able to be on the field. So that could also have affected his marketability.
I've seen those comments as well about the timing. I mean, I suppose I would have told him, why don't you wait till after the season ends? I also wonder what difference does it make? If he announces it on Sunday, are you any happier? Probably not. And will it affect the team's performance? They know he's leaving.
Yeah. Sometimes we do not consider the – what the team already knows.
Is Hendon Hooker going to miss a check down tomorrow because Tyon Evans put out a tweet that he's going to enter the transfer portal?
Yeah.
You know, so, I guess he could have announced it after tomorrow, but I would also ask, you know, what difference does it make? We'll come back. Maybe Fat Jack thinks you take Vandy plus the points because of Tyon Evans' tweet. We'll ask him when we come back. We have 30 more minutes until Vol Network will take over with Tennessee basketball this afternoon. A busy Friday, and we are spending it right here at Harper Jeep Ram, where you can test drive on the Motor Mile on 99.1, the Sports Animal.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draftaccess to register for free entry today.